welcome everyone, both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online, as we are in the third week of a message series titled Sharing God's Blessings. Sharing God's Blessings. I don't know if you have discovered this. It kind of took me a while to discover it myself, but there is great joy in sharing our blessings with others. There's great joy. First, there's great joy in recognizing that, hey, we have been blessed, and then there's great joy in sharing those blessings with others. When I was a kid, I found a way to share my blessings with others. I probably didn't think of it exactly the way I'm talking about it here, but as I reflected on it, I realized I think that's what I was doing. So when it came to playing pickup basketball games, when I was a kid at school or in the neighborhood, maybe there'd be a crowd of, you know, six of us or maybe eight of us. What I would do is I would assess the situation and then purposefully pick two or three of the lower skilled players to be on my team against the rest. I'll take Joe and Marty and Sam and we'll play the rest of you. And the usual response was, sure. Because the guys who, you know, were lower skilled, and they were just glad to get picked. And the other guys were thinking, man, we'll take these odds. Yeah, we'll take these clowns. And so here's the thing that I knew. Back in the day in elementary school, young junior high, I had some height. I was taller than most everybody else my age. And I also had some skills. I was quick. And I also practiced a lot. When everybody else was, I don't know, doing whatever, I was out there shooting and dribbling. And so when it came to pick up basketball, I could generate some points. I could shoot from the outside. I could drive the lane. I could pass. I could do all those things. And so I would say, hey, we're going to take, you know, me and my buddies here, we're going to take the rest of you. And so... we would begin. First thing I'd do is, you know, just establish some credibility. So I'd shoot from the outside, put some points on the board. Bam! Everybody understands he's going to shoot. He's going to be, and then I would drive the lane. And everybody says, we got to stop this clown. He's going to be scoring all the points. And sure enough, they come on me. And what would I do? I'd dish off to my buddies. Now, usually my buddies, they didn't get to shoot all that often. But I'm dishing to them. And what did they do? They took the ball, and they thought, he's left me wide open. He obviously wants to shoot, so I'm shooting. And they would shoot, and guess what most of the time would happen through the course of that game? They would start finding their rhythm. I mean, my buddies who, you know, realize, well, I don't normally get to shoot, but, you know, Bob is leaving me wide open. He's collapsing. Everybody's collapsing on him, and he's dishing off, and I'm shooting, and the thing is, it starts going in, and, you know, once I get one of them going in, then, you know, I'll shoot another one, and so, I mean, it's all kinds of fun, and if perhaps they might miss, I'm taller than everybody else, so I fight for the rebound, and we just go again. So, man, I just had a time of my life gathering a group of underdogs to take on the rest and see how well we could do. And my friends, some of my best friends today are some of those underdog guys who said, you know, man, did we not have some fun taking on the rest? Now, I love to do that for as long as it lasted. About mid-junior high, as I think, mid-junior high, all of my friends got a growth spurt, you know, and then all the strategic advantage that I'd enjoyed, you know, elementary school, early junior high, it was over. It was over. So I was scrapping with the rest of them. But hey, there is great joy, isn't there, in recognizing that we have been blessed and then finding a way to be able to share that blessing with someone else. I think that's kind of what I was doing, even though I didn't really get it quite that way. Why I tell that story? Because of this, to say this. I think God loves to see us share our blessings, the things that He has blessed us with through the body of Christ, to be a blessing to others. By ourselves, you know, we have one level of ability, but when we use our different gifts and our skills together, it is amazing what we can do. Things like helping hurting parents learn how to cope. We can band together and do that. Things like helping children with these high ACE scores, adverse childhood experiences, helping them to understand that they are loved, banding together. We can do it. Things like helping couples strengthen their marriage or helping those who've had the loss of a spouse be able to deal with that grief, or helping those who've gone through the heartache of divorce be able to process their pain. When we get together using the things that God has blessed us with, we can do that. Or how about helping those who battle addiction find the power that they need to be free? Or how about helping children know that, you know, through basketball, through upward basketball, there is a God who loves them? Or how about, you know, helping students find meaning and purpose for their life as they learn to serve, as they learn to go out into the community like they were doing there and serving? That's why I think God loves to see us bless others, share our blessings through the body of Christ. And that's why I'm so fired up about the many ministries that you are making happen week in and week out through our church. There is great joy in sharing God's blessings with others. Amen? I hope you feel that. I hope there's something that goes through your being every time you hear about something that we've done or something that you are participating in that's making a difference for someone else. In the first week of this Sharing God's Blessing series, inspired by Paul's letter to the Philippians, remember Paul was writing to the Philippians, we look closely at the cry of his heart in this letter. He says in Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ. Wait a minute. Back up. First of all, we talked about being grateful for the saints that God has placed in our lives. Paul, remember, he talked to the Philippians about being the saints of God. And he says, I'm thankful for you Philippians. You are the saints. And the word saint means holy ones. And Paul was thankful for these Philippians in his life, but you know what? We have learned, I hope, to be thankful for all of the saints that God has placed in our lives. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the saints that God has placed. Some of them are saints of old. They have been people that were alive long before we were, but their lives encourage ours. And then there are others who are saints more near. People who God has placed in our lives. I got to go yesterday and Friday to be with my mother. She certainly has been a saint more near that God put in my life, had a tremendous influence for me. Paul says, I'm grateful for the saints of God. We're also grateful for the life-giving power that Jesus provides in our lives. Last week, you know, as we were looking at Paul's, the cry of his heart, he said, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ and the power of his what? And the fellowship of sharing in his what? Sufferings, being like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead. Paul says, I want to know Christ. He said, everything that I had accomplished up until this point in my life as a Pharisee, he says, I count all of that as rubbish. It's garbage. It's useless now that I've met him, now that I've met the risen Christ. Paul says, he has become most important in my life now. I want to know Christ, he says. I want to know Christ and know him as deeply and as intimately as I can. And I love Paul's heart cry. And my prayer is that his cry would become our cry. We want to know Christ. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Paul was also, he was grateful for Jesus. He was also grateful for his partnership with the Philippians. their partnership really encouraged him throughout his ministry. Paul wrote in Philippians 1:4, I always pray with what? Joy. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Early on in his ministry, he established this connection with the Philippians, and it was a connection that they had then for the rest of their lives. Here's something I've observed. The significance of long-term partnerships and friendships is huge. Huge. Last Sunday, Irina Mitina was here, and her being here from Russia reminded us of the joy of our long-term partnership with her and the United Methodist Church in Russia. It's been a wonderful 26-year relationship. This week, I got to meet with my best friend in high school. He actually was one of those guys that I often recruited to be on the underdog team. And we got together for lunch. And what I realized before we ever got to lunch, as I was driving to be there in Wichita, I was going to Kansas, stopped in Wichita where he lives, and I realized that, you know, both of our lives intersecting had an impact on the trajectory of our lives. His family and my connection with him over time expanded my dreaming about who I wanted to be. I realized that gift at that pivotal time in my life was something that he and God worked in me through my relationship with him. My parents didn't, they weren't the parents who would say, you're going to college, it's automatically happening, you're going, no questions. But because of his influence, I had that dream. And it was funny, I was the oldest of seven of us, and after I had the dream, you know, others caught the dream. But my parents didn't necessarily say, this is the way it's going to be. The thing that happened in his life because of my friendship was there was a time when he was really wrestling with his relationship with Christ, and we went on a ski trip together with five girls, and he and another friend who I recruited those two guys. I said, these girls have said they want me to take them to Colorado to learn how to ski, and I need help. I need some help, and you guys are coming. And along on that trip, as we got to talking about faith in Christ, and he came to a new understanding of his faith in Christ, and that had a profound impact on the trajectory of his life. So I have come to know the power of long-term relationships. This past week, I had a friend from seminary call me and say, I want you to pray. There's going to be a meeting in my church, and we're talking about, quite frankly, about my ministry. And some people are not happy, and can you pray? I said, yes, I will, and we did pray. And he called me back, and he said it was a good meeting, and we got some things worked out. And, you know, the value of long-term relationships is it's just amazing. And here this morning, we're so thrilled, Kathy and I, Kirby and Terry Hibbard, our friends are here. We started in Altus, Oklahoma, first time associate pastor there, and we had two new little babies, and the Hibbards had two young children of their own, and they were young parents, and we were young parents together, and here we are. Our kids are grown, but it's still great to be able to get together and talk about, you know, how the journey continues to go, and what can we be praying for one another about now? Amen? The power of long-term partnerships, long-term friendships is huge. Paul was grateful for his relationship with the Philippians. I hope that you are grateful for the long-term relationships that God has placed in your life. Along the way, Paul also learned how to be content in various circumstances. That is another huge part of what it means to live life that all of us wrestle with, and we have to work out ourselves how to be content in various circumstances. Throughout his letter, Paul mentions joy, remember, some 16 times. He is just thrilled about writing to the Philippians. He's under house arrest. Things are difficult in his life, and yet he knows this tremendous joy. He says, I found the key. He writes about it in Philippians 4:12. He says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. Let's read it together, this part. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do everything through him. Paul, once again, is pointing to the power of his relationship with Jesus. He has learned that whatever his circumstances, if he'll take his eyes off the circumstances and if he'll take his eyes and put them on Christ, if he'll try to remember who Christ is and what he has done, instead of focusing on the circumstances, he discovers that that great transition, that great transfer, I'm not looking at the circumstances, I'm trying to look at Christ, makes all the difference. Who is he? He's the Son of God. The Son of God who lived the sinless life to show us God's love and his compassion, who then offered himself up death on a cross, but he didn't stay there. He didn't stay there. Amen? God raised him up. And because the Lord raised him up, in him and our faith in him, we find that we can have that same experience of the grace and the power of our risen Savior. Remember this, abiding in Jesus gives us strength for anything that we face, for everything. When we too look to Jesus, when we stay close to him, even in the midst of the storm or the trouble, we find strength, we find courage. We find faith, we find love, we find compassion to make it through. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And remember this too, our participation in the body of Christ gives us opportunities as well to share our gratitude. You know, when we are connected together with one another in the body of Christ, when we just don't try to go at it alone, but when we recognize, hey, I am stronger, I have more possibilities when I'm banded together with others in the body of Christ, our ability to share our gratitude then becomes more powerful as we live out our covenant, as we live out our membership vows together. So how do we do that? Well, one, we share prayer together. There is peace in our hearts that the world cannot give. There is a peace that cannot be taken away when we pray. That's what our monthly call to prayer is about. So this month, in fact, this week, Tuesday, all day, we're being encouraged to pray. There's 30-minute spots, but you can take all day praying if you like. And we're praying for our city and our state and our nation and our world. We're praying for the church universal. We're praying for our church because the needs are great, but there is power in intercessory prayer. And our participation together makes a difference. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. How else can we share our gratitude together? Presence. We can be present. You know, to offer our presence with one another is a tremendous gift. To be together in fellowship, that's a tremendous gift. But to offer our presence to God as a tangible act of worship is a huge thing as well. And yet I know we live incredibly busy lives, and yet to set aside an hour or so to worship the living God is a powerful statement of faith. God, I am grateful for who you are in my life. And so I'm setting aside this time, and I'm trusting you to meet me here and also multiply all my other time to help me get through the things that I need to. In a day when we know the data is fewer and fewer people in our culture are making worship a priority. The example that you set for one another, that you set for your children, that you set for your grandchildren, has the opportunity to make a huge impact over time. How else can we share our gratitude? Well, you can offer gifts. John Maxwell once said this. He said, God's gift to me is my potential. My gift to God is what I do with that potential. Certainly our potential is limited. I learned in high school that I had to make an adjustment in my thinking. I wasn't going to become the professional basketball or baseball or football player that I had dreamed about. Why? I wasn't big enough. I wasn't quick enough. I wasn't fast enough. There was a day back in maybe fifth grade when there was a glimmer, but that glimmer I had to think differently. We all discover, you know, Jesus in his parable said some have 5 talents, some 3, some just 1. There are limits to our ability, but what can I do? What can I do? I can do all things through him who gives me strength. What do I have potential to do? The advice that John Wesley gave was very wise. He said, make all you can. Innovate. Make all you can. Do everything that you can to earn money. He says, make all you can. Then he says, save all you can. Dave Ramsey would have loved him. Save all you can, says Wesley. And then he says, give all you can. And where's he getting that from? He's getting that from Jesus, who said, give. Give all you can, and it'll be given unto you. Do you know what a 10% collective contribution from our church, our congregation, for another year would mean? It would mean we would capture opportunities for ministry that we hadn't even had before. What could I do? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You can offer God the tithe, the 10%, in response to his tremendous generosity to you and to help our church reach its potential. You can give generous gifts. What else can we do together to show our gratitude? We can serve. We can serve. One of the things that I love about the Walk to Emmaus retreat is people who come back off the Walk to Emmaus, because they've experienced the tremendous understanding of the amazing grace of God, have a new passion and a new attitude about serving others and serving God out of gratitude. I'm thrilled about all the ways that you can serve here at Christ Church too. It's part of our DNA. We've said we are a Good Samaritan church. We're going to be the ones who stop when we see somebody in need, and or if there's something we become aware of, and we're going to try as best we can to address that need and to help bring people to healing and wholeness. One more thing we can share in gratitude together, our witness. Our witness for Christ is much stronger when we're together. One of the questions that I regularly lift up to our staff members, to our leaders, is this: where have you seen God at work lately? Where have you seen God at work lately? Now, that is a great question. I love to ask that question among a group of Christ followers and then hear the stories. And the stories are so powerful. Our testimonies are huge when we talk about where we've seen God at work lately. Recently, I've seen God at work in bringing one middle-aged man out of ICU through rehab, and I heard that he was able to go home yesterday. And that's been about a 3-week process with him and his family, and that has been a tremendous experience together. At the very same time, I've seen another family walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I've seen what it means for them to release their beloved husband, father, grandfather, release him to the Lord and say, the race has been good and it's been well run and well fought, but it's time to let him go. God has been at work among both of those families in very real and very tangible ways. Where have you seen God at work lately? I see God at work as our upward basketball season is getting ready to start. I see God at work among our various support groups, our classes, our 12-step groups, our music groups, our accountability groups. I see God at work helping us to maintain a unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, even in the midst of these disconcerting times in which we are living. I see God at work in all of these places. Where have you seen God at work lately? Remember this, our purposeful actions are tangible expressions of our gratitude. And one of the best things that we can do is share God's blessings, give our gratitude. And as members of the body of Christ, we do it together well with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, gracious Master, loving God, Almighty Lord, we thank you for the joy of sharing your many blessings. There's great joy in sharing our blessings with others. We thank you for all the saints, the holy ones you've placed in our lives. They have blessed us so that we can be a blessing. We're also grateful for the life-transforming power of Jesus. As we come to grow in our relationship with him, he is the one who helps us to become all that, God, you want us to be. Lord, we thank you for the long-term partnerships, friendships in our lives. These relationships provide us encouragement and hope in the midst of the challenges as well as on top of the mountains. We're stronger together as we share. As we share our blessings. As we share our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, our witness. And may, Lord, these words ever ring true in our hearts. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Lord, you are the one who helps us to find peace and contentment and all that we need in the midst of the storm. In Jesus' name we've prayed, in his mighty name. And everybody said, amen.